Well, good morning, everybody. This is Rob. Glad to be back with you once again. It's my honor and privilege to be able to share with you this morning. You know, we as Christians hear a lot about the walk that we've chosen to take, about following Christ on His path and becoming the people that God wants us to be. And when you think about taking a walk, generally, you know your beginning and end points. I'm leaving the house, walking down to the corner store, picking up a gallon of milk, and then returning home. Where I started and where I would end up was no mystery to me, but what I didn't know was how the journey would go. You see, when I left the house, I forgot my keys and locked myself out. Oh well, I'll deal with that when I get back. I headed to the store, walking the most direct route because it was hot out there and I wanted to get back into the AC as soon as possible. Man, it was hot and humid. And that's when it started to rain. No umbrella, no raincoat, so this was going to be a soggy walk. As I was crossing through an intersection, a car playing loud music with the bass really thumping came speeding through and nearly hit me. I guess whatever was on his cell phone was more important than the road. I entered the store, walked to the back where the coolers are. Ugh, no whole milk, no 2%, only skim. Well, skim it is. As I turned to go to the register, I noticed a display of homeless donuts there in the aisle. I call them homeless because it makes me feel better when I purchase them, like I'm doing them a favor by removing them from a bad situation. If I don't buy them, in a few days they're just going to be thrown away because they're stale. I don't like to let that happen, not on my watch. I want them to reach their full potential. I tucked that box of homeless donuts underneath my arm as a protective, loving gesture to show them that at my house, they will be loved. As I headed to the register once again, my path was blocked by two ladies with shopping carts that decided aisle 7 would be a good place to have a conversation and not let anyone through. I grumbled to myself and chose to go up another aisle, where what to my wondering eyes appeared? Doritos on sale. That's awesome, I cheered. I grabbed two big bags and went on my way. At the register I arrived and waited in line. There were only 3 people in front of me, so I could wait or I could use the self-checkout. Yeah, I'm not using the self-checkout. That thing hates me, and I always end up wanting to punch it across the store. Place your scanned item in the bagging area. And when I do, an unscanned item has been detected in the bagging area. Please wait for assistance. Oh, not even gonna go there. So as I waited, I got caught up on all the latest tabloid news. How to lose 50 pounds in 5 days. Who's dating who? How to catch a good man. Mom has twins, then bowls a perfect game. And I'm not even going to touch what the latest edition of Cosmo had for headlines, let alone how little clothing that very young girl on the cover was wearing. Oh good, now only 2 people are in front of me, and that's when I felt it. Like I was being watched. I could feel their stare at the back of my head. I told myself, do not turn around. Do not do it. Do not look. I'm not going to look. Oh, it was too late. I saw that beautiful orange wrapper out of the corner of my eye, glistening softly in the flickering fluorescent lights. Reese's Cups. You know, I don't know who decided Reese's Cups should be sold in pairs, but that was genius. One Reese's Cup is never enough. I stretched my hand forth very slowly, pulling it back slightly a couple times, weighing in my mind the should I's or the shouldn't I's. I was just about to grab one when my phone rang. Hello? Yeah, I remembered. I'm at the store now. All they have is skim. Well, I'm not crazy about it either, but it'll have to do. What? Homeless donuts? Yeah, I got some. What do you mean no Reese's Cups then? Man. All right. Love you too. Bye. Oh, finally it's my turn to have my items rang up, and lucky for me, Captain Happy is on duty today. He never looked up, never said hello, how are ya, nothing. Fine. 2 can play that game. I'm not talking to you either. I paid for my stuff and I left. Jeez, what a jerk. As I exited the store, I noticed that there was a carnival in town that I hadn't seen before. I headed over to where it was, but I blew out a flip-flop, stepped on a pop-top, and cut my heel, had to cruise on back home. So back home I came, only to have to sit outside and wait, because I'd locked myself out. All right, this may have been a fictional walk you just took with me, but you can relate to it. Why? Because we've all had days like this. The car won't start, the kids get sick, company downsizes or closes, a loved one passes. This is life, here, now, on planet Earth. Things like this occur every day in our broken world, and I've always liked the saying, I try to take one day at a time, but lately, several days have attacked me at once. What we see and what we hear and experience on a daily day-to-day basis is just a physical manifestation of what's happening in the spiritual world. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We deal with distractions and distortions on a daily basis because they're right in front of us. We see them causing problems for us. We hear them stirring the gossip pot. They're slowing us down. They're getting in our way. Oh, Lord, give me patience. Because if you give me strength, I'm going to need bail money to go with it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, this is a very familiar verse to a lot of people. And I think what happens to this verse is it becomes a cliche to people. We read it, we memorize it, it looks good embroidered on a pillow, but we fail to understand it and apply it daily. Go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. We go out into the world, to school, to work, and it seems as if our battles are against people. Well, people are not the enemy. Satan is. But he doesn't want you to know or acknowledge it. The great deceiver, the great divider. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. At this time, Satan would like us to think that he does not exist. But he's an enemy that has come across our line and is in our camp, just looking to take someone out. There'll come a day when he'll demand worship, but for now, he'll keep his head down and he'll use people like pawns to spread his discord. He's stealthy, sneaky, and offers imitations of what God gives us. But how do we walk the path that we're meant to walk, knowing that danger lurks around every corner? Go ahead and turn to Psalms, chapter 37. We're going to be looking at verses 23 and 24. Psalms 37, 23, 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The NIV puts it this way. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Through God's grace, he understands the walk that we're trying to do. He knows our frailties and our weaknesses and knows that we are not perfect. He makes firm the steps so that we can walk forth boldly, confident, because God is with us. He sees our hearts, and he's a loving father, like one that takes the training wheels off a bike and runs alongside us just to make sure we don't fall. Is our walk more difficult than that of Jesus? In our physical form, he knew pain, hunger, heartbreak, betrayal, disappointment. He experienced all of this, and yet he never sinned. I think he understands. And to emphasize that we're not alone, he goes on in verse 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Satan and his buddies are just waiting for you to mess up, and they're happy to help you mess up. Then come the thoughts like, you're not a child of God. This happened because you deserve it. You're just a faker. You haven't changed. But God says, it's okay. I've got you. I love you. Get back up and try again. I forgive you. You were righteous through my Son. By his stripes, you were healed. So we get back up. We get into the race. And we're doing our very best, but we notice that there are obstacles coming up. And now the others in the race are riding motorcycles. They drive around the obstacles, kick up dust and dirt, making it hard for us to see or even breathe. Bad enough that they're getting off easy doing it their way, but now they're trying to take us out too. But we keep going. We stay the path. Why? Let's look at verses 37 through 40. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteousness is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. And he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Our physical strength means nothing. He is our strength. He will help. He will deliver. He will save because we trust in him. Why do we trust him? Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. We exercised our faith in him when the trials of life smacked us right in the face and we yelled, Papa! And he was already there. When we saw a problem coming, we yelled, God! And he already had the solution. When we were walking into trouble that we couldn't see, in our head we heard this voice say, Stop! You don't want to go that way. And he kept us safe. I was taking a very restful nap one afternoon in my bedroom, one of those nice deep sleep naps, when I was suddenly awakened by a loud crash, followed immediately by my teenage daughter screaming, Daddy! Of course, she did it about 4 octaves higher than what I can. I had no idea what had happened, but I sprang out of bed to check on her, and when I got to her door, it was locked. Without hesitation, I kicked the door open and rushed inside. She'd been laying on her bed when a strong wind from a storm that was coming in blew her window open because it wasn't completely latched. The window had knocked a lamp off of the table and shattered it. She was fine. The window was fine. My pulse of over 200 went down eventually. My point is, I'm a man, the earthly father to my daughter. When I was awakened suddenly by my daughter's scream for help, I heard the fear in her voice and I charged to the rescue. What do you think is our Heavenly Father's reaction when we yell, Daddy? Would he do any less for us? Does he love any of us less than I love my daughter? I think not. His love far exceeds any love I'm capable of. Two very powerful weapons that Satan uses are fear and intimidation. When something scares us like a loud noise, we freeze. At first we're confused, disoriented, trying to determine what has happened. Then the fight or flight kicks in. Adrenaline courses through our body to prepare us for what comes next. If it's something we feel we can beat or escape is not possible, fight takes place. If it's something that intimidates us, flight kicks in. Fear and intimidation. Look at the armies of old. Before the battle, they would yell as loud as they could and beat their swords and spears against the shields to make a loud noise. Cities built huge walls to protect themselves from intruders. Intimidation. You can't get in here. The sound of a cavalry charging could stop any army in their tracks and would make them turn and run the other way. How many times does the Bible tell us, fear not? I think it's something like 365 times, one for every day of the year. Fear not. Fear not. Be ye not afraid. Why are we told to fear not? because fear stops us in our tracks. We can't walk with God if we're standing still. When we allow fear to stop our walk, we're saying, God, I don't trust you, and I don't believe what your word tells me. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Psalm 23. Again, another very well-known scripture. I want to read through this scripture completely and then come back and cover points on it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does a shepherd do? He tends the flock. He cares for it. Makes sure that there is good grass to eat, lots of clean water to drink, protects them from predators, keeps them safe. If a sheep goes astray, he goes and finds it. I shall not want. Why? Because he will supply all of my needs, so I won't be in want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me. He restores. It's all him, because I'm a part of his flock, because you were a part of his flock. He will lead us in the paths of righteousness. Lead us, not point the way and say, it's over there some way. Good luck. He will go down that path with us and lead us down the path. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will what? Fear no evil. Why will I fear no evil? Because I'm so big and bad? Because I got it all figured out? For thou art with me. God is with me. God is with you, God is with you, and God is with you. Not to mention, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because when God is with me, that's all death is a shadow. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But wait, don't order yet. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Here is a table that God is preparing for us, and I guarantee you it's not some skimpy spread, more like Thanksgiving times 100 billion. And not only is it the biggest, best buffet you ever saw, our enemies get to watch us eat it. Thou anointest my head with oil. Why? We're anointed with a blessing. We're protected. We are empowered. We are the chosen ones. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Good old fear. Where does that come from? From Satan and his buddies. He likes to spread it around, and most of the time, if we entertain that fear, the fear itself becomes bigger than what we were originally afraid of in the first place. Fear is not of God. Why? Turn to 1 John chapter 4. Why is fear not of God? Because God is love. Not loving. You'll hear people say, oh, he's such a loving God. Well, he's not a loving God. He is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. There's no fear in love. Yeah, but there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Daddy, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. I don't have the money for this. Help. Fear hath torment. Sleepless nights, pacing the floors, biting your fingernails down to the bone, high blood pressure, ulcers. So we have a choice. Live in fear where Satan wants us to be, or give it to God. That's all fine and dandy, you say, but I can't just bury my head in the sand and hope that everything will be all right. It's not about burying your head in the sand. It's not about not acknowledging that there's a problem. It's not about being irresponsible and saying, oh, well, I hope everything works out. It's about having a Heavenly Father that wants you to come to Him with everything. He has all the answers. He's way better than Google. Take your concerns to God and talk with Him. Prayer is a conversation, back and forth. It's impossible to have a conversation where just one person is doing all the talking. God knows everything. He knows what my problems are before I do. So take your fears to Him, lay them at His feet. Here you go, Lord. Something needs to be done about these, and I have no idea what to do with them. Sometimes I get direction on what I need to do, or who I need to talk to, and what I need to say to them. And it's amazing the doors it will open. Other times, I have not had to do a single thing. The problem got taken care of and I did nothing, except I took it to God. In exchange for placing my fears at His feet, I got His love. It's like taking a warm blanket out of the dryer and wrapping yourself up in it. Isn't that wonderful? The warmth just seeps into you. The smell of the fabric softener. You feel the softness of the material. You smile and you say, thank you, Papa. I love you and I'm so grateful. We take these experiences from our walk and we learn. We practice it daily so that it becomes a habit in our lives. We grow as Christians because we are practicing putting God first. Any of you that have kids know what they do when they have a problem. Whenever they're little, Mom, 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 Dad, Dad, Dad. They come to us and we help them. When they enter that period of life we call the teenage years, they can solve it themselves. Because parents are the stupidest people on earth. Sometimes teenagers get it right, but other times they end up in a worse situation than before, and we, the parents, are left standing there saying, why didn't you come to me? After they move out of the house, the parents do get a little smarter, because maybe these old people didn't have a clue about what they were talking about, but I digress. God is our parent, our Father, and He does have all the answers. And He wants us to live that more than abundant life and to live without fear. But God has more important things to do, and I don't want to bother Him with my petty problems. Now, to that I say, horse hockey, you have not because you ask not. It's part of walking by faith. I can't grow if I'm living in fear. We can't grow if we're living in fear. How can any of us do what God has called us to do, to be our part in the body of Christ, if we're living in fear? Once we give it to God, leave it there. Don't pick it back up. There's a poem that's called Broken Toys, or it's also called Broken Dreams, depending upon where you see it online. The author's unknown, but it has a very powerful message that I'd like to share with you. This one's called Broken Dreams. As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because He was my friend. But then instead of leaving Him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last I snatched them back and cried, "How could you be so slow?" "My child," He said, "what could I do? You never did let go." Yeah, that gave me chills the first time I heard it. We walk by faith, not by sight, correct? Walking by faith doesn't just happen when we get born again, unfortunately. It's like everything else that we attempt in life. We learn something, we practice it by applying what we learn. We apply it over and over and over until it becomes a habit. Walking with God by faith is just that. Walking together, holding hands, joking, laughing, singing, discussing serious concerns, thanking, praising, and just being with Him. And yes, correcting. which is a good thing. As every parent knows, correction is necessary at times. He will correct us because he loves us. If you say, well, I'm putting God first, and you run to him, dump your problems and take off, and the only time he hears from you again is when you have another problem, that's not putting God first. That's not building a relationship with God. He has given us, at great cost, the gift of eternal life. I want to know him now, here on earth, as well as I can. Walking by faith is work. Put in the time. Make the effort. With all the distractions and distortions of everyday life, it's easy to get caught up in the mess that's all around us. If you've gotten out of the habit of inviting God and Jesus into your lives on a daily basis, invite them back in. No shame, no condemnation. I'm certain they are watching you from the hillside, just like the father of the prodigal son, waiting for you to come back. And they will run to meet you when they see you afar off, because they love you more than you'll ever know. I'd like to close with a prayer that's part of Psalm 36. You don't have to turn there. Just close your eyes and listen to the word of God. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth under the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of the iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. We praise you, Heavenly Father. All the glory to you in everything, through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.